Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
All right. 1 hour down, two more to go. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to the baseball in just a second. We'll talk about Valdez and whether or not he threw at his own catcher. But I did mention Jackson Dart. And obviously the football season is upon us. We'll do more of that tomorrow as we will get ready for Thursday night football, the start of the season, Eagles-Cowboys. And then obviously we'll do everything on Friday, Football Friday, with all the trimmings, okay? But I did just want to talk as the news came out that Jackson Dart is now listed as the second quarterback, which I got to be honest, it doesn't make any sense to me. Me and Fleas are talking about it. I feel the same way as he does. It's the first, he put it this way, and that's why I mentioned him, because it feels this way to me too. I feel like everything's gone perfect. And not that this is, I mean, we'll see, but like the offseason, I feel like everything they've done has been the smart move, has been exactly what I think they should have done. They had a good offseason. They had a good free agency process. They had a good draft. And now to make him the second starter and put him, or the second, make him the backup rather, the second string quarterback, and put him in a position where if anything happens to Russell Wilson at the beginning of the season, and again, there's a good chance they don't have Andrew Thomas. Right, so the offensive line could be a little bit of a process here to start the year. You are going to put him an injury away from having to come into the game at this point in the season? Why is Jameis Winston on this team right now? Why is he on the team? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It speaks to how they feel about him. It speaks to how well he's processing things. It speaks to what this coach thinks about him. I'm hoping it doesn't speak to the fact that he thinks he needs to get him in there sooner rather than later to keep his job, because I don't think that's the case, and I'd be disappointed if it were from owner John Mara, because I don't think it makes any sense. And there's a process that they're trying to go through here. And to make him the second quarterback and put him an injury away from having to go into the game this early in the season, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Make him the third string. And then if Russell Wilson goes down in that game, you go to Jameis Winston or whatever. For a week, you can go to Jameis Winston. And then if you feel that strongly about it, then you just decide to put him in from the third. But now you put pressure on him. Now everyone understands how the coaching staff feels about him. Now he's an injury away from having to go into mid-game this early in the year. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you go bring in Jameis Winston, have this quarterback room, and then not make him the second-string quarterback? And now put all the pressure on this young kid. It expedites his process to being starter. And I guess, I mean, that's it. To me, the biggest thing is it's some sort of validation of what they think of him, and maybe they want him to feel that way, that they have confidence in him, that he can be ready to go at a moment's notice. Maybe they want him to feel that way, but I still just don't think it's the right move. I think it puts pressure on him. I mean, you could always go to him and then, I guess, go to Jameis Winston if he doesn't play well, but what is that going to do to his confidence? I don't want him in there until they feel he is completely ready. They went out and got Russell Wilson. I believe he can still play. I believe this coach can coach him up. I think as long as he's healthy at the start of the year, I think you're going to get the best play from him. But you've got another backup quarterback in Jameis Winston. Why are you putting the pressure on this kid that he's got to be ready to go the second something happens to Russell Wilson, who did get injured last year, who played through bumps and bruises? You've got an offensive line missing your best offensive lineman, your left tackle, your stud, the most important player in the franchise, arguably, might not be ready for the start of the year. Like, I just don't understand the rush to get him in there. I don't understand why make this move, why make it a story, why put the expectations on him, why have everybody clamoring for him to play, because that's the other thing. Now he's the quarterback number two, indicating they believe he's ahead of Jameis Winston. They believe he's on the precipice of being the best quarterback in the room. And if they don't play well the first 2 weeks, suddenly there's going to be clamoring for him to start the home opener against Kansas City. Like, I just don't know why you would make this more of an issue than it is. And let's be honest, you could play him from the third string anyway. Who cares? Call him the third string quarterback and then decide to put him in anyway. Why add to it by making this a story today? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't think it's smart. I don't want him in there week one. If Russell Wilson goes down, they're going to go to him in week one? I think that's ridiculous. Why not just start him? If you feel confident enough about him possibly playing off an injury, now I know if you may go, oh, they're both older quarterbacks, he could have to play if both guys get injured. Sure, I suppose that's possible. But, I mean, you're talking about making him the backup game one? I don't even know if I wanted to dress him game one. Like, I don't want to have that as a possibility. I don't want to be tempted to do that. I guess it makes me feel good about how Brian Daboll and this coaching staff think of him, and it certainly makes me think we're going to see him sooner rather than later. I mean, that's what it makes you feel like you're going to see him sooner rather than later. And I don't know what's the rush. If they feel today that he's the best quarterback in the room, then start him. I wouldn't do it. But if they feel that way strongly enough to make this a story here, putting him as the second quarterback, then just put him out. I don't get it. I hate the move. I would have kept him as the third string. I'm not putting him in if Russell Wilson goes down in game one. I'm going to thrust him into that situation week one. Why would I do that? There's a process. There's a point. There's a reason they went out and paid two quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, you had a guy that you believed in on some level in DeVito. Why not just get Russell Wilson? I know they got him first. They got Jameis first before they got Russell. Maybe they didn't know they can get Russell. I don't know. But then trade him. Like, if you were going to do this, it doesn't make sense to have both these quarterbacks in the room. Not week one. You want to make this designation week five or six? I'm in. To start the year, he's the backup quarterback. If something goes bad in week one in Washington, you're going to thrust him into that spot? Why? Why? I don't understand it. I think it's a mistake from Daboll and company. I really do. I think it's a mistake from the Giants. I would not put this on him. I would have not had the fan base this eager to, like, because we all understood, as great as he played in the regular season, in the preseason, and as sharp as he looked, and as confident as he looked, and as quick as he was to process, and as much as he went up and down the field, and as happy as we were with his performance in the preseason, I feel like the Giant fans understood we weren't going to see him for a while. But now when you do this, now you're just giving more red meat to a fan base who's dying to see the first round pick. And now if he doesn't play, if Russell Wilson doesn't play well week one, there's going to be clamoring from the start week two, because you've just made it clear how you feel about him and where he is in his process. I mean, we'll see. Hopefully Russell Wilson plays well and doesn't get hurt and we still don't see Jackson Dart for a while. I want to give him a lot of time. We have seen quarterbacks fail. This is an opportunity. If they would have just not signed Russell Wilson and said we're drafting a quarterback somewhere in the first round, he's going to play, I would have been okay with that thought process. But they went out specifically, got two veteran quarterbacks to give him this process, to allow him to not be thrusted right into a game. Whether that's the wrong decision, right decision, it's their decision. Why make that a more difficult plan by putting pressure and hype on the idea that now he is ahead of Jameis Winston in the pecking order? It makes no sense to me. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Phil in Tom's River. What's up, Phil?
Chris, how you doing, my brother? How good. Was your vacation?
It was great, man. Thank you for asking. Yeah, we had it was awesome. I'm glad to be back, but we had a great 10 days out in Sicily. It was amazing.
I'm glad to hear that, man. All right, now real quick, let me get to this Giants thing. How many quarterbacks have you brought up through the system and trained?
Me?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Personally, none.
How do you know he's not ready? Brian Daboll, let me
tell you
something.
Make him the starter.
Why they got... All right, listen, but listen to me right now. They're not going to do that week one. They're not going to do it.
They're putting him in a position to play him week one now.
But you're saying all this added pressure. He's a first-round pick, Chris. He's coming to a team that was quarterback starving. And yeah. They signed Winston, and they signed, listen, but they yeah. signed Winston and Wilson in March.
Yeah.
They drafted in April. They didn't think they were going to get, but they got their guy, Chris. And that's it. That's
yeah, but you signed the two guys. You signed the two guys. You signed the two guys so you can have the leverage
in
of
case.
Then keep, but what's the benefit of putting him second? Put him third and then still make the decision to play him when you want to play him. Why make that? This is just a public stance. Why do you do it?
Well, listen, I read an article today. I forgot the post name the guy wrote. He was in the, after the Jet game, and he walked over to Jackson Dart. Brian Daboll didn't say, I love you. Jackson Dart's like, thank you. He's like, no, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, when I saw him talk to that guy, when I saw Jackson Dart answer him back and Daboll looked at him, this is his guy, Christian. I remember being on the phone.
Of course it's his guy.
I don't care what quarterback they get your guy.
Yes.
He got his guy, Chris.
Agreed.
How do you know he's not ready to play right now?
Well, then, because they're not calling him the starter.
Because, Chris, it's
Then what week are they going to play him, and why not designate him? Why have these two quarterbacks on the roster?
Listen,
why not trade Jameis Winston? Why not do something else?
Because that's what's going to happen, Chris, because week four, they got the Saints in week five. Week four,
you just said Jameis Winston's not good enough to be my backup quarterback. You just hurt the value if you're going to trade
Winston
him.
Jameis Winston knows what he's there for. But Jameis Winston knows he's there for his leadership. To talk this kid up.
Yeah, but you hurt his value to trade him by designating him behind a rookie quarterback.
You think you hurt a Jameis Winston value when a quarterback goes down and there's nobody out there, Chris? Look at they just signed Nathan
Peterman. I think they just said he's not good enough to be our backup quarterback.
No. Chris, they just drafted a kid number one in the first round, traded up to get their guy.
Well, not number one.
Brian
he's the second pick. Then make him the starter. But if you're not going to play him, why would you put him in a position if Russell Wilson pulls a hamstring, he's coming into that game week one? Why would you do that?
Why not?
Because then start him if you're willing to play him week one. Because this was going to be a process where he's not going to play for a few weeks.
I think they want him to get on the sideline, listen to the calls, see what's going on.
He could do that as the third-string quarterback.
Well, listen, that's what Daboll did.
I disagree with what Daboll did.
Listen, okay, you can disagree, but look what he did in the preseason, too. Hey, guys, hurt. Get in real quick. Listen, he's setting this kid up. Look at Josh Allen. I'm not saying that. Everyone said Josh Allen should never start. He's terrible, this and that.
Yeah.
Next year, he throws 37 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions.
Yeah, but Phil, I get it. I've been. Like, as Eddie and Rockland's going to come up, he'll tell you. I've been talking about how he helped develop Josh Allen. It's why I wanted to get him the quarterback. I wanted him to draft his guy. This is his guy. All of that. I'm on board with everything you said. Then just play him if you're going to play him. The whole point of bringing in Russell Wilson and paying him and then bringing in and also having Jameis Winston there is to make sure he doesn't have to play for a while. Let him get acclimated. Why put him in a position? Why have this quarterback room and make him number two? I don't see the benefit of it. All it does is ratchet up the idea that he's going to play. That's all it does. All it does is create expectation that he's going to play right away. All it does is create the idea that he might get thrusted into a spot, which I don't understand. I just don't understand it. I know it's his guy, and I'm happy that he got his guy, and we know eventually we're going to see him, whether at some point this year or next year. He's the future quarterback of the New York Giants. There is no doubt. I just don't understand why you would add. I don't see the benefit of it. Tell me what the benefit is. What's the benefit of making it public that he's the number two guy and possibly thrust him into a miserable spot week one, week two, as they're getting their ass kicked without Andrew Thomas and Russell Wilson goes down? And now I got to thrust him into that spot? The whole point of this is that you had the ability to put him in whenever you wanted to put him in. Eddie and Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, welcome home.
Thank you, buddy. What's going on?
Well, I hope you enjoyed your trip. Sound like you did.
I did.
What I didn't get is you talked about the scenery and everything like that, and all we got from you was a spleen sandwich.
That's it. Then you got a beat shot. That's about it.
Oh, I didn't see the beat shot. And now, if you pulled out the Mike's mustard, that would have been funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was trying to get to you before you left. You should have extended, See, Sicily is like the best thing is the resorts that are right on the water.
Yeah.
And you should have treated you and the old lady to two nights there and had your in-laws watch the kids.
That would have been something. We did go to a hotel down, but I forget the name of the town now that we're in it, but we went to Mount Etna and we stayed in a hotel for a couple nights over there with the kids and everything. But we went to Taormina, which is where the Four Seasons, where they shot the second season of The White Lotus. We saw that hotel and the whole coast of Taormina, beautiful. But we just went there for an evening.
What's with the brother-in-law not doing the 6 hours?
I know.
Not knowing the 6 hours on the.
Yep.
What is he? Gagoots?
He thought the game started at 3:00. It started at 9:00. Yep.
Okay. Let me throw this Jackson Dart point at you. What happens, okay. Chris? Jackson Dart kind of like a cocky kid, right?
I guess.
Confidence is high.
Confidence, yeah.
What happens if you heard through the grapevine he demanded and wanted to be the second guy, and he obviously played good enough to be the second guy? The only thing that worries me is
You think he went into the office and said, "I'm your second string quarterback"?
I think he wants to be standing on the sideline.
He wants
to
play.
When you're third string, dude. When you're third string, you're benching it.
No, that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. Not when you're the young quarterback future.
Dude, he's gonna have the headsets on. He's gonna be right next to Dave.
You can do that as the third string quarterback. You can do that as not even on the 53-man roster.
No, he don't want to be labeled as third string, dude. He's a first overall, first round pick. He wants to be labeled, right there. That's what it is. But why does that bother you?
Because it puts him in a position where he goes in if there's an injury week one. I don't want to play him week one off an injury.
But you just said if he was third, you could still put him in. So if he's second and something major happens and your team gets
killed, if he's third,
you could still reach for Jameis Winston at third.
Then that creates a controversy. I put him second and then I don't play him second? Why would I do that? Now those questions are crazy. Why would you call him the second string quarterback and then not go to him second?
Why would there be a controversy if you went from third to second?
No, he would be in and everybody would be excited about it, but I meant like you could put him in the next game. You could start the next game with him. I wouldn't put him in early on in the season off an injury and in the third or fourth quarter, second, third quarter to not start a game. I wouldn't do that at all. I wouldn't do that at all. Now, I meant if you go to Jameis Winston
to
finish
a
game, probably not. No, I'm probably not going to go to a game this year. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Again, I like watching football games at home. All the games, football Sunday. I have to come in later that night. But maybe I'll take the kids to a game this year. We'll see. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac? I'm glad you had fun on your vacation.
Thank you.
Did I hear you right on Saturday? You said you were going 130 kilometers and people were flying past it.
Yeah. I'm going 130.
Yeah, it's 80 miles an hour, and they're flying past
you. Oh, of course, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that happens all the time. That happens on the throughway up by me.
Why not?
Doing 80
these on regular roads?
I'm doing 75, 80, and a 65. People blow by you doing 100. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, in Italy. And that was the speed limit. The speed limit was 130. I just said it was funny.
Oh.
It's just funny to see. Yeah, that was the speed limit on some parts of the road. Not always, but there were some straightaways and parts of the highway that the speed limit was 130. It's just weird. It's weird to do 130. It's weird to be in the car and see the 130 pop up because, I understand it's not 130 miles, but it's just weird. Same thing with the gas. The gas, I pull up to the gas station, it says 171.
Yeah,
liters, right? Yeah, I'm like, 171. I'm like, wow, great. The gas is cheap here. Fill it up, please. Yeah, that'll be $87. I'm like, $87? And then I realize, it's 171 a liter, and there's 4 liters in a gallon. It's a $5 gas. It's a $6 a gallon gas a tank. $6 a gallon there. So it's tough.
Yeah. Okay, just real quick, because I do want to talk about the Met game. But, I mean, my understanding was that a lot of the Giant fans wanted the quarterback to learn so that they don't throw him right in there. But
that's what I thought.
That doesn't sound to be like the case.
Well, but, now look, I mean, he still can as long as Russell Wilson doesn't get hurt. I just don't understand. That's what scares me.
Greater likelihood now.
Of course. What I'm saying. There's a greater likelihood you're not going to get to control how his career starts. I don't want to do that. I don't want to see him get. I don't want to see Russell Wilson go down week one and suddenly Jackson Dart gets thrown into that situation. I don't want that.
Right. Look, I mean, now you mentioned it before, and I agree with you a lot as far as the way yesterday's Met game went down. I mean, because he clearly had a game plan, McLean I'm talking about, of going in there throwing off-speed pitches, because they were even saying how what their success rate is against breaking pitches and whatever, but unfortunately he had a difficult time getting them where he wanted them, at least in the beginning. And he really hung in there and showed me, I mean, I thought this kid looked like he had it, that he has, I don't know if moxie is a good enough word for it or whatever. But he certainly looks like he belongs here.
No doubt.
Yesterday was a great indication of that as well, because he really settled in, and I think he got, 15 in a row to finish up his night. I mean, so that really was encouraging.
Yeah, I think he finished the last 14. Yeah, he finished the last 14.
Okay, yeah.
He's the first Met to win his first four starts. And yesterday was a real early-on grind for him, and to find it like that. That is a veteran type.
Against a very good hitting team.
Against a team that, now their pitching, again, their pitching doesn't scare me. It's Skubal and then I don't know what else they got. But yeah, their offense has been good this year. And, that's a good game. That's a really good start for McLean. There's no doubt. That is anti-rookie. Like, you would not expect that kind of determination and his ability to put his foot in the sand and figure out a way to stop his slide there and go and finish the game with 14 in a row. That is a veteran type performance. That makes me feel a hell of a lot better. In your fourth start in the major leagues, you're able to kind of have that about you, have that kind of calm and sense about you to end. Now again, the run support helps, there's no doubt, but still. That's a really impressive performance, and it makes me feel better about going into a postseason series with him. Right now it feels like he's your game one starter, as crazy as that is. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Oh, Chris, man, you know what? I'm wondering, did you see the Verducci article in SI about the Yankees?
I have not. It came out when? Just recently?
Okay. So it went up today.
Okay.
All right. And it really is for the analytics crowd. And I'll tell you, if you're into fundamental baseball and all that stuff, you're going to be heartbroken. How about this? In the games where the Yankees hit at least two home runs, what percentage of those games do they win?
It's like 80%.
70%, Chris. Yeah. And the article is all about how they're teaching them to hit the bottom third of the ball. And they don't care if Volpe and Austin Wells hit 200 as long as they hit us on a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's all about, man. I'll tell you what. It's something that...
Well, I mean, I don't think that's overly new. I mean, I don't think they care that they don't want him to hit 200. But, yeah, the idea of hit the ball hard in the air is not something that we would just find out from Tom Verducci. I mean, that's what they want to try to do.
And it says, for better or for worse, they're gonna do this,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they're gonna try to win. You know, and this whole thing. Look, Jackson Dart's gonna play when Brian Daboll and the rest of them deem him ready to go, and that may not be this year even.
Well, they just put him in a position where if Russell Wilson gets hurt, he's going in. That's what I'm saying. He's the number two quarterback. If they went out of their way to, and thank you for the call, Steve, I got a break. If they went out of their way to make him the second string quarterback and then didn't play him as the second string quarterback, that's now a story. That is now a controversy. why would you make him the second string quarterback if you had no intention of playing him if Russell Wilson got hurt? It doesn't make any sense. Naming him the second string quarterback, he is going in if something happens to Russell Wilson. Plain and simple, he's going in. I don't want that. I don't want that to be the start of his career. Now look, he gets thrusted in and he's great. Then it is what it is. He probably should have started from the jump and we run with it. But it's not the plan. It's not what I thought the Giants wanted to do with him. And I like the idea of giving him some time. We have seen quarterbacks fail, especially in this market, especially with these two teams, you know, especially with the Giants here. Like, I don't want to thrust it. They went out and signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston just for this, to make sure that he's ready when he's ready to go in. Now, if they deem him to be ready, then just start him, I guess. Like, that's my only thing. If you're going to name him second string quarterback, that indicates you're ready to play him today. That if something goes down, I'm good with him being in the game. Well, if you're good with him being in the game, why are we messing around with Russell Wilson? That's my only thing. If they honestly believe everything they've seen, the way he played in preseason, everything that's gone on, they believe him to be the better quarterback and that he's ready to go right now, then just start him. Then just start him. And I'm against that, but it makes just as much sense as naming him the second starter. Because now you're indicating I'm ready to put him in if I need to. That's what that indicates. I believe in him. He's ready to go. Something happens with Russ, he's in, and we're good with it. Well, then just start him.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Jackson, I am for real. 3:37. Let's go. On this Wednesday morning, 888-808-1019. A little bit of football and Jackson Dart. And whenever we talk football here on The Fan, it's brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Obviously, the Jets as well will get ready to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in week number one. I'm fascinated by that game. I'm fascinated by the Steelers. I'm fascinated by, obviously, Aaron Rodgers. I am looking forward to it. And listen, you know, we'll see. It sounds like Justin Fields is ready to play the game. He's excited. I'm a little nervous about what this passing attack is going to look like. That's really my concern about the Jets right now. I just don't know what this passing game is going to look like. I think with, you know, the running back duo, I think they're going to be able to run the football. The offensive line should be one of the better units in the game, should be able to block it up. The defense, you know, I have some concerns with the defense, but the defense is talented. I think that the head coach is obviously a good defensive coach. They should be much better. They should be much more buttoned up. I expect all of that. I expect culture. I expect less penalties. I expect all of that, which should help this team. I think they're talented enough to beat and win at the line of scrimmage, but ultimately in this league, you have to throw the football. And we'll see what Justin Fields has in store. But that is my concern with the Jets. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It opens up week one. Now, again, the coach, you know, I understand what he's trying to do. I understand the culture he's trying to bring. I don't understand some of the audio I'm hearing from him. And Because I'm the coach. Like, I don't understand why, for someone who was hired, as part of the reason he was hired is that he understands the team, he understands the market, he knows what it's like to be a Jets fan, and yet he's so just unwilling to give any kind of answer, you know, for the most part. I'm not saying he hasn't ever given an answer, but, I mean, he's just so deciding to take on an adversarial role against the media. I don't understand it, but all of that doesn't matter if they play good, winning, buttoned-up football. So we'll see as they're trying to change the culture with the Jets. We'll get ready for that game. We'll get more into these two games as we get closer. Obviously, we do the segment, the football stuff on Friday as well. But right now, baseball still is very important off of these two games. Pennant race and the Yankees take game one of the 12-game gauntlet that is somehow going to make us all feel better about their playoff prospects. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Reese in Manalapan. What's up, Reese?
Chris, how you been doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing good. I had a question. So over this next 12-game gauntlet stretch with the Yankees.
Well, 11 more
is
now.
Yeah, 11 more after tonight. So is there a specific matchup that if the Yankees were to improve play against specifically, would it change your opinion or hopes at all going into the playoffs? And is there a specific matchup over these next few that would make you be like, I'd rather avoid them in a wild card scenario if we don't win the East? Because I'm aware the East is still in play, a lot of games left, of course, but let's say if we are in that wild card scenario, who's that one team that's not on your first?
Yeah, okay. Well, let me try and answer both questions if I can. One, no. The first question is no. There's nothing they can do, really, either winning or losing these games that would make me feel overly confident or pessimistic about the team more than I would be normally. Just about, because the Yankees beat themselves. I think the Yankees are better than every team in the American League. I truly do. But they play, you know, down, you know, they do so many dumb things and bad things and have played such bad baseball at times this year that they're capable of losing to anyone because they beat themselves. So there's nothing that, like, is going to change my overall fear of that happening in a postseason series. There just isn't. I'm going to be confident, though, because I like this team. I mean, I like this offense. I like the players on this team. I like Max Fried.
There's a lot of talent.
There's a lot of talent. I like the team. I think, you know, obviously, hopefully Cam Schlittler can be someone who, if he's reliable as a starter and pumping 101 and having the movement he's had the last couple starts and pitching to an under 3 RA, I feel good about the rotation. I feel good about the bullpen. I feel good about the lineup. So, like, I'm not saying they're going to beat anybody or they're going to the World Series or they're going to win the World Series, but whatever happens over these next 12 games, I'm going to be somewhat confident or at least optimistic heading into a postseason series. Now, is there one particular matchup I'd like to avoid? The one thing I'd like to avoid, which I think is fair because they haven't played well in Fenway, is to be in the wild card series where all three games are in Fenway. That's the one scenario I would like to avoid. Now, I know they've come in and played well in Yankee Stadium too. I would feel confident playing the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. I would. The one matchup is they're the second wild card. Boston is the first wild card, and those three games are played in Fenway. That matchup would make me less comfortable than any other matchup I can think.
They have a lot of bad losses in Fenway, and that's what I was shifting towards too.
And I do believe the Red Sox are the team they play worst against, the team that scares me the most. So ultimately, that's the team that would make me, I guess, the most nervous, but particularly in Fenway. The wild card series in Fenway would make me very nervous. More nervous than any other series. Now, I'd be nervous no matter who they played. I was nervous during, Fliegelman was laughing at me when I was nervous against the Kansas City Royals. He was like, what are you worried about? I'm like, I don't know. The Yankees lose the game. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried they're going to lose the series to the Royals. He thought there was no chance. He ended up being right, but I was nervous as hell. I was nervous against Cleveland. I'm going to be nervous no matter who they play because the Yankees are capable of beating themselves. That's it. So I don't care who it is. I'm going to be nervous. But if you ask me the one matchup I suppose I'd sign up last for, the wild card series, all three games being played in Fenway. That would be my least favorite. I'd much rather go to Houston. Obviously, they've had success there. I'd much rather go to Seattle. I'd much rather go to Texas. I'd much rather go to either, you know, I don't know, Detroit if they fall into the third division standings. Like, I'd be comfortable playing a wild card series anywhere else, or at least I'd be more comfortable playing a wild card series anywhere else than Fenway. But other than that, no. Like, even if they get into a DS against Boston, I'll be nervous, but I'll be somewhat confident. That's the one thing I would be really, that's going to be a tough road to hoe would be in Boston because they haven't played well there and the Red Sox have played very well against them. But it still wouldn't mean they couldn't win the game. Dave in Verona. What's up, Dave?
How you doing? I'd like to mention about the guy, Dante Miller for the Giants, the running back.
Okay.
And I heard that he ran a 4.27 40. It was the fastest, the sixth or seventh fastest time in the combine history. He's got elite speed. And I'd like to see him as a fourth running back rather than carrying four tight ends. Because I think late in the game, when you have a guy, you put that guy in the third or fourth quarter, people got tired legs, he can break a run. You can see it on the preseason a little bit when he's turning the corner. He's accelerating. He's the fastest guy on the team, put it that way.
Okay. I mean, I don't think he's on the roster right now, so they'd have to elevate him. You're right. He's not one of I do like Tracy and Scadaboo as a running back tandem. I think Tracy is going to have a really good year. I think Scadaboo is someone who's, you know, low to the ground. We saw him take over the bowl game on New Year's Day. I like that running back tandem. I mean, all right, you know, Miller is fast. That's fine, but he's 26 years old. It's not someone that I think is overly, you know, is going to impact this team. I like the running back tandem they have. Mike in Brooklyn, what's up, Mike?
Hey, welcome back, C-Mac.
Thank you, buddy. What's going on? It was great. Yeah, we had a great time. It's good to be home, but we were doing a lot. We saw a lot of ruins. We saw the mountain, the volcano. We went to beaches. We ate out. We did everything you could do. We went back to, obviously, my father-in-law's hometown, so the house he grew up in, all of that stuff, which was a lot of the trip.
Great.
It was awesome. It was a great 10 days. It was really incredible. Ate a lot of fish.
Then you thrust right back into a hypothetical Eddie out of the gate.
Hypothetical Eddie right back. I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have taken my wife to go do this. You know, he's got a lot of things for me.
Then you're gonna get Brett asking what do you call it? Did they wear Giants jerseys on the trip you saw?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I saw a lot of Yankee. I did see a lot of Yankee hats. I know Evan was just in Europe as well. I have to admit, I saw a ton of Yankee hats. Nothing else. I didn't see any other. Cool. I didn't really see any other sports. I think we saw one Met hat. But I'm trying to think. Outside of that, I didn't really see much sports stuff. All of it, anything we saw that was sports related, was New York Yankee. Yep. And I'm not trying to brag about that. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that was the case. Other than that, we didn't really see much.
Yeah. All right. So just two quick points. First, the whole thing with Dart, I agree with you. I'm like, listen, like, how many quarterbacks have been thrust into it the first year and have been successful? You know, last year you had Nicks and Daniels, right? But neither team had expectations, right? So Nicks, Payne did something different where he gave him the whole playbook, mm-hmm. and, you know, if he's successful, okay. And Daniels, they did, like, limited, and then they added more and more. So I don't think that you can do something like that with New York. That's just me.
They could, but it's just they had a plan to not do that. Yeah. Like, if they would have just drafted Jackson Dart and said, you know, we're starting him from day one, I would have been okay with it. I would have preferred this method, but I don't understand the elevation. Like, I just don't see the I don't see the
especially
point.
Who wins him, yeah. No, I agree.
I just don't see the point.
And then my second point, just with the match, McLean, I totally agree with you, McLean. Like, he really showed me tonight. Like, I texted one of my buddies at the game, and I texted him. I said, like, this is really... You can see what this guy has. If this guy can get out of this, he doesn't have his best stuff. He can get out of this, and he looked fantastic. And on top of that, the only other thing that's so funny, because I was talking with Al the other day about this, that, and I think you and I spoke at the beginning of the year, I think that there was going to be a lot of wild card teams out of, like, the Central and the West.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to be careful, the Giants. The Giants are five games back, same as Cincinnati, and they have, like, the 29th easiest schedule according to, like, Tankathon. And they've been, like, the last 10 games are, like, 8-2. They won again tonight.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I'm a little worried about that. Obviously, I know Fleeks thinks, obviously, like, the Mets can only really beat themselves. But, you know, I think it's a little of that. And if these guys play that good, you know, I think we could be literally on the cusp of just making it to playoffs. But welcome back, C-Mac.
Oh, and, thank you, buddy. I'm not so worried about the Mets making the playoffs. I'm not. I think they're going to, I mean, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I wouldn't worry about it at all, to be totally honest with you. I'm very comfortable. They're 5 games up on the Reds and the Giants. There's like 24 games to play. Yeah, the Giants are now 9-1 in their last 10. And they have come up and tied the Reds. They are 5 games back, but I'm not overly concerned. I think the Cubs, Padres, and Mets are locks. Now, I don't know if you saw, though, with the Giants, Freeland, I guess this is a topic of conversation. It came up, the Yankee broadcast talked about it a little bit. But I personally think pitchers are babies. That's what I think. Like, Freeland got mad, if you didn't see the game, Mike just mentioned, you know, the Giants beat the Colorado Rockies early on in the game. Rafael Devers hits a bomb of a home run and admires it and stands there and doesn't run. And we saw it a little bit with Jazz. Jazz's second home run, he had the bat flip. He kind of even gave a peek into the Astros dugout. And even David Cohen said, like, if I was in that Astros dugout, not sure how I'd feel about that. I think this is all, like, this is now an era of let the kids play. We've been talking about this. Everyone, like, you want to show emotion. You don't want to see someone pimp the home run. Don't give up the home run. The idea that Freeland, who in the post game then said, I've been playing for a long time. I know he has too, but, like, who cares about how long you've been playing? You're playing for the Colorado Rockies. You gave up a mammoth home run. He stood there and watched it for a while. Turn the other way and walk away. Like, what are we, like, honestly, he's not trying to show you up. He's admiring the home run. Like, I know we all want it to be the 1960s and we want everyone to run hard to first base. We want everyone to run after the home run. Like, that's just a part of baseball. And to complain and get it to where, you know, punches are thrown and dugouts are cleared because someone admired a home run in 2025 is just patently ridiculous. When you strike him out, throw your hands up and go nuts. That's it. That's what you do. That's how you retaliate. All right, you want to watch the home run? The next time I get you, I am going to, you know, give you the Jabba Chamberlain, or I'm going to give you the, you know, who knows? I'll give you the Stucky. I'll give you the DX. Who was the Boston Red Sox pitcher who did that to Oakland when they won that division series? Was it Derek Lowe? I think it was Derek Lowe who did that after they beat the, in 2003 or 4 when they beat the Oakland A's. Whatever. Do whatever you want to do to celebrate when you strike someone out. That's it. The idea that it comes to blows over how fast you run out of the box on a home run, it's so dumb. And we understand, like, that's part of what we're trying to incorporate that into baseball a little bit. We're trying to have a little bit of enthusiasm. You're trying to have a little bit of fun. We all understand what's going on here. And to act like a big baby because someone didn't run fast enough, get over yourself. Rub up the ball and just wait. And then if you want to plunk them. You want to take, like, that's where, like, if you want to, I guess, like, if you want to throw up, I think it's stupid. But to get in, you know, to get into a fist fight over it, it's just so dumb. And what a baby. I thought it was disrespectful. Just cry babies. We see it all the time now. Everybody admires home runs. It is what it is. It's not the 1950s. It's not the 1960s. You're not Bob Gibson. Shut up. But that was a big brawl out in, I think it was in San Francisco. Or was it in Colorado?
It was in Colorado.
Big crybabies, man. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. All right, 2 hours down, one more to go on this Wednesday morning. A little bit of football, obviously a lot of baseball as the Yankees started the gauntlet. Won the first game off the nemesis, Houston Astros. They've now won 8 straight in that building. Whatever Minute Maid or whatever the stupid name is now of the building, they've changed it like 3 times in the last 3 years. It's so dumb. But that building has been kind in the regular season to the New York Yankees. They've won 8 in a row, and they dominated last night for the game 1 of this 12-game gauntlet that apparently is going to decide who the Yankees are and whether or not we can actually root for them in the postseason. Which is just, I mean, I don't know how many times to say it. Me and Fleas were talking about it in the back. Like, do you know which team had the most regular season wins in the history of baseball? the 2001 Seattle Mariners. What happened? What happened? I don't understand. And let me tell you something right now. The Milwaukee Brewers ain't winning nothing. I like them. I like the way they play. Their manager even holds people accountable. It's a beautiful thing to watch. They ain't winning nothing. This doesn't mean anything. It's 162. Win the most games. That's it. Last night was a good start because the Yankees need to win more games.